I honestly just think we're in a lot of trouble. I have looked at it from every angle that I can imagine, and I'm not a stooge. I know there are people out there who will outwit me. I know there are people out there with book smarts that I don't got. I know there's people with grit I don't have. I know there's people with accounting skills I would love to have. I get that. I know I'm not all in everything, but I have spent a lot of time studying stories, studying ancient languages, studying the ancient story in the ancient language, trying to reconcile where we found ourselves now here in this modern world with the New Testament era, with the Old Testament era, with the Reformation era. Like, we are so far gone from where this thing started in terms of not just, you know, Christianity, and any given church on any given corner that claims to teach any given thing. Is it Christianity? Gambling man, you are, right? Like, just so that, but I'm actually talking about like Platonic civilization with the rule of law and a bunch of other stuff that most Christians today think we don't have anything to do with for some reason. That's not exactly what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how, if we're in such a bad situation, I didn't really say what I think, right? Like, and I didn't want to, I don't want to. I want you to decide, why is it so bad right now? Obviously it's so bad, it's all gonna fall apart. Oh my goodness. Gotta stop X. Gotta stop X. What is X? What are we fighting against? What are we fighting for? What on earth do we agree on? Nicene Creed? I hope so. I don't know. Christian, Catholic, which word? You tell me. Right? I mean, is it a fight? What do we agree on? Where do we start? Our backs are against the wall financially, nutritionally, you know, psychologically. Oh yeah, baby. You should see. Hey, I live with people as their pastor, and I love them desperately. And what I see is a world that is tearing us to shreds with lies, guile. It's just rank profiteering and deception, all in the name of like happiness, love, and unicorns, you know, while they're at it, you know. And can we have your kids, by the way? We are so far up against a wall. It is terrifying. Like, there is no solution. Who are you going to vote for? For in what election? Where? To help this. So where do we start? What on earth do we begin with? Is there a head on this lion, on this dragon, right? Is there something, an Achilles we can go for? Is there a place that we've been so blinded that we just don't even know how far gone it is? And that's where we actually have to repent. 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 Can we at least agree that a spirit of repentance is what the Reformation's about? I think it's the first thesis, if I recall. Where do you start? And I may not be positioned in the world to have any authority to tell anyone where we start. But then again, if you're listening to me talk, yes, I do. Ha! Gotcha. It's a game. It's a game, and they keep gaming it. What's the game? The game's authority. The game is power. It does exist. And just because man abuses it does not mean that man does not wield it well if he is good and strives for virtue. And that when he fails to do this, when he fails to strive for virtue, but instead retreats like a woman, well, then evil men have their way. Evil men have their way. So I'm going to suggest that if you hate me for anything in the world ever, hate me for this. Hate me that I think the women rule over us. And until we repent, it's not going to get better. Now, I do and have repented, and it's been a fascinating little journey. And I continue to see the ramifications of this in my life and wonder when I'm going to like feel the pain. You know? But on the other side of it, what's amazing is the peace in my household, the strengthening of my congregation's convictions as a people, the undergirding of them as a dynamic demographic. All of these things have come hand in hand with our insistent belief that a man's a man and a woman's a woman. Straight up. And that these distinctions, when we forget these distinctions, can I quote John Gray from, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus? Not a Christian book, but one I highly recommend if you'd like to learn how to talk to girls, guys. Honestly, you want a date, get this book. For men and women are different, paraphrase. Men and women are different. Forgetting this inevitably breeds conflict. Are you watching the planet? Are you watching the planet? Where do we need to start? Our women rule over us. That doesn't mean blame the women. Hello. It does not. If women rule over a people that are made up of men, those men are cowards. And cowardice has to do with like the preservation of your pleasantry, basically, right? You'd rather have a happy time than suffer for the right. That's straight up what the Ezeo, the coward, the lazy man in Proverbs is. And they've made them out of all of us because you know what? It's pretty tough to enjoy the dog-eat-dog, grindy, cubicle farm life that most of us get. And so, yeah, to go VR off into some fake world land of my success and godhood, it certainly is appealing. But then there you are. You've just been neutered. You just have no impact on history, society, or whatever. And whatever religion you think you're carrying, they're going to pipe it out of your kids' brains after you ship them off to communist school. Sorry, kids. I mean, didn't no one told you? Hey, and before anyone gets on me about that, I'll just quote trauma at you. I'll go millennial for a second since I'm like right between y'all. I'm on Gen X, but you know, I was traumatized. It was traumatized. It's not my fault. I had to watch the Challenger blow up on TV in third grade in school. I still remember that crap, man. It still makes me shake. And maybe you're so hardened you don't even think about people dying. I do all the time. It bothers me when I see it in pictures. Things like that, right? And so I don't like that that's doing that to this world. I don't like that we've given that over. And I don't like that as a result of all of this, so we can keep our little screens that make us happy all the time, but they don't. The men have just stopped leading. Because it's easier than arguing. And that's the thing. You know, can we at least agree on X, that man's man and woman's woman? That's where I'm trying to get to. Why do we argue? Why do men and women argue? That's what I'm trying to get to. I'm not trying to blame women. I'm not trying to blame men. I actually think it's the curse. I think the Bible talks about this. I think there's an explanation for it. I think that redeemed headship is wonderful because it kind of cuts through it all with the same gospel that overcomes Pentecost, right? That again, that speaks in tongues, huh? That translates the truth. That's what I want to do today here a little bit is do my best to translate some of the truth about man and woman that I know based upon me being like 45 years old, not dead yet, right? And I avoided certain things that are causing cancer at the moment, as far as I know. But then again, there's other things that cause cancer. And the stuff they told us caused cancer when I was like 15, like, I don't know. I don't know now. I mean, they were still giving us margarine back then. Margarine. Okay, so like, here's what I've learned through all of this, that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And there's a significant difference in these things. The Hebrews knew it well. There's a lot of hatred for Jewish people these days out there. You may have heard some. You may be one of those people yourselves. I know some of those people follow circles that I lead for some reason, and I can't figure out why. I know they hate me, which is great, because they should, because you shouldn't hate anybody, and that's weird that they do, right? And so that's on them. But they like to hate me when I like say anything like you shouldn't hate every Jew, right? I get the feel from this out of the ether of the Twitter sphere from some, I don't know, a goblin. Literally, he's got a goblin in his picture. I know, he's probably watching, right? Hi, I don't know who you are. Like here's the thing though, like you can't hate all people, that's bad. Bad. You know, you cut with a single fork or a single shape around all man, and you've denied the very gospel of the King of the universe who called you out of your darkness, out of your people, out of your race. So anyhow, the Hebrew peoples are geniuses so far as I'm concerned, and I'm not saying that they don't need Jesus Christ in their life, because they absolutely do. And like all non-Christians, this is our doctrine, they're going to burn in hell because they don't have the atoning sacrifice of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, right? So like, that's a thing, right? But that doesn't mean that they're all like whatever whoever wants to say, or that we shouldn't study the wisdom that they left us in the Hebrew scriptures, which is where I'm getting. Like, hello. You know, you wonder why. Anyone who has to accuse them of wicked things, right? They're so capable of ruling the world. I'll tell you, if they are, which I don't think they are, if they are, yeah, you know how they do it? They do it because they study the Hebrew Bible is how. So we should. We should study the Hebrew Bible rather than hate people. That's my point, YouTube. and here's the thing that that the Hebrew Bible will teach you if you study it deeply about man and woman. Okay. This all has a direction. This really does line up. Yeah. It's going to make half of us upset though. Are you ready? This is from Hebrew taxonomy. Taxonomy is like the study of animal shape, right? Like how the bodies are made. It's like biology, but a little bit different, right? Taxonomy. And in Hebrew taxonomy, you know, for all females, the female animal is never described as thinking, but only as following, whereas the male is described as thinking. Now, here's what I know, that upsets all the women for some reason, right? And that's actually the curse. That's Genesis 3 says that you'll be really upset by facts like that because you'll think it means we're better than you, and then we will too, and then we'll be bad. That's the rest of the curse. And redemption means like we can know that and not have to like be subservient to that idiocy in our mouths. It is like that, really. But it means, I mean, this is really phenomenal that the male in the family thinks and the woman follows, and that is what happens. And if you try to do it differently, it gets really wigged out. It doesn't work. Nature will show you how we are supposed to be. And here's part of the challenge, right? I just talked about the curse, okay? I'm going to talk about the curse again. It's going to be very offensive, and I'm going to be called a chauvinist and all this stuff that's just not true. I know chauvinists, and I try to tell them not to be chauvinists. It's wrong. But like, this is part of the curse, okay? That for a woman, according to her nature in general, she cannot feel that man is superior to her without some form of carnal shame. That there is an edge in her that if we say, man is superior, she'll say, right? And then here's the other half of this, though. I'm only halfway done. Okay. Guys have no problem with that thought. They got no problem with that thought at all. Like, guys are superior? They're like, oh, sure, of course we are. Duh. And women are like, you stupid man, right? Because why? I mean, what's the fight about? It's a good question. Can we agree on X? And what's the fight about? I'm suggesting that at the heart of this thing, there is a curse in which woman who is not inferior in some sort of like devalued in God's sight kind of way, but is a inferior and that she has a superior in a chain of command sort of way, right? That this is not a shameful thing to have a chain of command. It's not a shameful thing at all. But by nature, woman feels that it is when it's talked about. And so it causes challenges in talking about the sin that is so difficult for all of us to deal with, which is not just her tongue, but our tongue, right? So it's the way that our conversations are dynamically destroyed by the curse of Genesis 3, right? That her appeal, her zeal, her heart will be for a man's office and that he will rule over her, right? And that her children will increase her pain, right? All of this is part of her tongue and where that then is in the house, that man who loves her and is with her and has actually, you know, caused the fall himself really more than she did, he is like, sweating and dying, and like we all share that, right? Like, just welcome to the club. You were born into it, and you're like, that's not fair, I'm a victim. And I'm like, yeah, contextualize this. That's some taxi driver for you. Man has no problem thinking he's superior to woman. Woman has a great deal of trouble acknowledging man's superiority to her in any avenue. You have to get mad about it. Like, we can't even talk about it. And then this is because it's about feelings. See, it's about feelings. And I want a specific card that I don't have directly in front of me. But it is about feelings. Here, this one will help. This isn't the one I was looking for, but this is kind of the direction, okay? This tells you all of it. And it's nature. This is birds and the bees. Let me say this too. It's birds and the bees, okay? I grew up watching TV and they would talk about the birds and the bees on TV like it was a shameful thing. And I would be like, oh, they're talking about sex. But I had no idea why they called sex the birds and the bees. My dad never took me out and said, hey, son, watch that bird and that bird. Just do it for 20 minutes. You'll get it. Okay. You'll get it. Yeah. It's that easy. The bee takes a little more thinking, kids. But here's the thing about nature, it'll teach you who we are. Here's something about nature that you can observe in man and woman, generally speaking. And let me say this too, before someone screams about how she's the one woman who's the one who doesn't do this. There are people who are the extreme in every spectrum, on every skill set, on every level in all the world, okay? But if we let them define who we are, we'll never get anywhere or have anything done. All the roads will not be built because somebody won't be able to use them, yeah? You can't do it, yeah? 80-20 rule is a principle for achieving reality in terms of wisdom, huh? Ask me about that later. But so 80-20 rule, generally applicable. You know, women do grow up in places where they learn not to be like this, right? But we're just talking about by nature. This is the girl who was raised like everybody else around you, right? What happens when you see two animals in a field and one of them is large and jiving at the other one and the other one's small and going, no, and then it's dead and it's been eaten? What happens in the heart of the woman? She feels bad for the prey. And in the heart of the man, you know it, he admires that predator. He admires that predator. And this is a distinction that's godly and good, and we shouldn't be upset about it. Mic drop. I mean, I could walk away right there, but you know, you'd have to think about what I said a lot, but like, mic drop. This isn't bad. It's actually so that we work well together in the preservation of the human species in the home. We're made to have a predator and a preserver instinctually. And honestly, I like it that my preservers are fairly predatorial compared to, like, you know, cows, you know, or even most other women, frankly. I don't mind having warrior women. Why? Because I want my people to be strong. I mean, it seems natural to me, but, like, honestly, why would you not be strong? I want my women to learn how to handle their curse, just as I want to learn to handle my curse, so that I can be more than just me and my own curse, right? But I want to be a blessing. To be a blessing, truly, not just like randomly, accidentally, God does that. God be praised. He does that all the time. But to intentionally try to be a blessing means you got to get a hold of your curse, man. You know, and whatever that's doing, it's going to have to do with your tongue. Read James, right? It's going to have to do with your tongue. And I tell you, in the relationship between man and woman in the home, the tongue is going to have a lot to do with it. And it's going to be the fact that we try to talk to each other like we're equals when one of us pities the prey and the other of us is like, get him, get him. Like we're just different animals. And this is so valuable. It's so good. It's so beautiful. It's why we are attracted to each other. It's how God designed us to procreate. Right? To make more of us so that more of this can be. And God's always said this is good and beautiful, right? But for whatever reason, again, the curse is that we don't like this. We rebel against this. And then right now, we live at a time when we're so overwhelmed by concern of being misunderstood. That we all but deny this in our practice. I still feel like I have to repent every morning. I'm barely able to get up and be like, I must actually leave this house today. I cannot defer to my wife emotionally. Gen X. You know, I get over that fist, grow up, you know, and that's my fight still right now. And you can be like, why is that guy a pastor? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay. I mean, you're not living. You're just watching right now. And I don't know what's happening to your kids 10 years from now. Be careful. Because while you're not watching, a lot of things are happening. A lot of things are happening. Face your sin, face your battle. Understand that your tongue needs pruning the rest of your life. It's never going to get to a point where you're like, I got it. You can always learn more. I mean, one of the things about going back to notes like this, why I like to do this show specifically on this topic, is I have all these notes from a series of books that I've read over a course of years, and now I get to refresh and relearn. Why? Because I forget, just in general, yes, but then the good thing, the word of God thing, right? That if the word of God is not going into us and coming out of us, going into us, it will cease going into us, right? It will cease being there, right? If we're not putting it in, it's going to cease going in. And what's there inside of us, it can endure. I have these amazing Christians who come to my church who, like, they wander. I don't even know how they do it. And I'm like, please come back sooner, you know? But their faith is fine and they're strong when they show up. And I don't know. But I also know that most people don't have it operate that way. for most people, it's a matter of you have to feed that fire. Virtue must go in. Grace must go in. Jesus must go in. God must go in, the Holy Spirit. Back to man and woman. I got busy defending myself. I'm sorry, everybody, for that. Men think it through in order to feel it is right. Women feel it through in order to think it is right. There's nothing wrong with this. We shouldn't change. There might be a woman who's a little different. That's fine too. But this is valuable information for a civilization to remember when we make decisions in general, right? That like the women are feeling about it while the men are thinking about it. And then everybody talks as if we're all doing one or the other, and we're not. We're not. This probably is why voters' assemblies were generally masculine affairs. Do I sound like a coward? It is the feminine instinct to stay. It is the masculine instinct to go. Men are created to think for the pack, women to feel for the herd. Men must understand what women think, but they must not care what the women think, feel, if it means not doing the right thing. And if we forget that or don't believe that that's what the man is there in the house to be, well, then we won't have houses. You know? And by houses, I don't just mean like a building with some kids that like we all like live in the same cubicle, but we all watch different gods. You know, I'm more talking about like four generations later, you're singing the same songs. That's what a house is in my book. I think I pulled this out of a conversation with Dr. Koontz, so you can blame him. But again, this is all about, look, can we agree on X? Men and women are different. A woman's world ends at the boundary of her yard, or perhaps her street. A working woman's yard then becomes her office space. But the idea here is that, and this is beautiful, this isn't bad, this is not a negative description. If you want to say, we're not like that, I think that's weird, because this is like a glorious thing. Okay. That a woman's world kind of ends with the boundary, and the man has a need to just go past the boundaries generally and for reals, which is why men are intruders more often than women. And it's why women need to be protected more often than men. Yeah. Although a lot of our men, it would seem, need to be protected. Here's a good one too. Men beat each other up, but women know the power of a good put down. Well, my kids said that to me recently. Another thing that I've been learning a lot about from that overlaps this same distinction reality. I mean, we can do, you know, man is overcomer, woman is nester, man is exploratory, woman is safety, man expects sacrifice, woman inspires knowledge, man is independent, woman receives, you know, man's a doer. We can do all that. And that's valuable. I think, you know, I gave you those because I think they're valuable. I think you should grab one of them and like apply it to your life and then go watch some birds again. Spring, watch the birds. But, you know, speaking of the animals again, dogs are tremendously useful in teaching humans how to be better humans if you pay attention to how to have a dog be a good dog. Now, again, that maybe is saying too much. But what I found is that by learning about male dogs and female dogs, suddenly men and women make a lot more sense to me, like just tons of sense to me. It's all like, oh, I see. We just don't believe that we're different. Oh, ouch. Don't do that to each other. You know? You know, the way we talk to each other is a lot of barking, honestly. And sometimes it works out, you know, you just get comfortable with each other. But I would imagine that Christian homes are places of warmth, peace, comfort, encouragement, and joy. I mean, it's what the scripture says, right? So like when mine isn't, then there's something wrong with my tongue. And that means, you know, again, as the man, before I should expect anybody else to be stepping in and fixing it for me, before I should expect my wife to understand what my needs are, right? Like my task is simply to be the master of the tongue who uses it for the best of all, no matter what comes. That's what a dog looks to you for as a master. So if you have a dog and the dog is yours, like he sees you, she sees you, whichever one it is going to see you as a master. He needs you to tell him what to do. Most people who have dog problems, I am not the dog whisperer. You go to him for everything, for reals, but like just learn a little here for the sake of learning about men and women, right? Most people who have dog problems, the biggest problem is the dog needs a master. And since the person is not comfortable mastering the dog, because you know, man's not comfortable mastering his wife because no one can talk about it because, oh my God, we're all equal all the time. So we can't master our dogs either. And the dogs actually run rampant over everybody just by like being like, why aren't you in charge? Like kind of actually. And then kids do the same thing. Why aren't you in charge? You know, all the fits they throw and you know, it's, they're looking for mastery. They're looking for ownership. They're looking for somebody who's above them that they can trust to know that it's all gonna be okay and they don't have to be God anymore. And a dog, you know, naturally is going to do this to the alpha beast, or if it is a male, it will decide to be the alpha at a certain point. But they're not super complicated. Like they only have three primary states. Okay. So whenever you see a dog anywhere, the dog only has three primary states. It is either in the state of play, or is in the state of discover, or it's in the state of follow. Okay. And these overlap and engage, and the dog can shift from one to the other very quickly, but the dog doesn't generally have all three at once, and you can kind of observe. I should say there's also a fourth state, which would be at rest, right? The dog's at rest. That is discovered, though, as well. So discover is dropping to rest. So let's start with that. Discover. When you see a dog, dog's just sitting there, dog's looking around, whatever. Right? Dog's trying to find something to chase. That's what dogs do, is they chase. And even when they're resting, they're waiting for something to chase. And so they're in discover. What can I chase? Or is there a master who says, don't chase? Okay, don't chase. Okay, master said, don't chase. I'm not gonna chase. Cool. I'm gonna wait, and maybe I'll rest while I discover, but I'm gonna keep checking master. You know, he's okay. Yeah. So discover. They're looking for something to chase. Chasing is play, right? That's why you throw the ball, they chase it, you run the stick, they run around with it, everything. Just play is whenever they're moving. So they've discovered. Now the discovery has led to motion forward. They're active. They're moving. And then I said follow. This is where then the master's going to do something and says, and they go, and the dog's just going to do whatever the master does. If the master's playing, he's going to play. If the master's fighting, he's going to fight. If the master's running, he's going to run. If he's going to sit down, he's going to sit, right? And so that's where he's discovered enough to know that I don't have to discover other than what master's doing. That's his place of most comfort, when discovery is rooted in master's substance, right? And so from there, okay, rewind this for a second and just apply this to the male in general. Guys, as you try to understand yourselves, as you try to figure out who you are, as you try to break that twitch from watching too much TV, right? Like, realize you operate in this mode almost all the time, that you are discovering, right? Or you are following, or you're playing. And if you don't know who you're following, then that's a problem, but you are following, right? And then when you are playing, that will be a result of who you're following. And so if you would like to have your life be different than it is, you cannot simply continue to just be in the follow mode that you are. You must recognize that every man needs a master. Every man needs a master. And dare I say it, the master Jesus Christ is the master of us all. In his kingdom, he gives us fathers. He gives us overseers. He gives us leaders, elders, brothers, all manner of men who are before us, who we may look to in order to know the way to go. That prevents us from having to live in constant discovery phase. That lets us live in contentment with our neighbors when we have a master whom we know. We live in an age where every man does as he sees fit, so you probably feel like you don't know who you're following. You might not know who you're following. You might know who you're following and find out that they're lying. You know, all sorts of stuff going on right now, again. But the point is to know that you need a master as a man, that you are not going to live without a master. You're not going to live without a man to follow. That's power to you. That's a lot of power to you. Because if you don't know that, it means you're being led by the nose. You're being led by the nose all the time. You don't know who your master is, right? And again, and you know, I don't accidentally tie this to Jesus Christ. It is the substance of the reality that the man who would teach us men how to be men again for the sake of our women, that he is the master. When the dog is discovering, the dog is looking for a couple of things, right? Calm. Number one's calm. Number two is respect. Number three is eye knowledge. And number four is permission. Right, so the dog first wants to know if there is if we're going to play, right? Which fighting is like the far end of play. The dog wants to know if we're going to play, and so when the dog looks at you, you're the master. If you send, ha, 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 well, guess what that dog's going to do? Ha, 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 he's coming right back at you, you know, coming up, right? And so you know, you see a dog coming at you, and you don't like that dog, right? Stand still. Don't come up. You come up, it's coming up. You know, just stand still. You know, I mean, if it's a dog trained to kill, it's going to kill, right? Most dogs are just going to run up to you to see if you're going to play. Don't play. Just stand still. They'll smell you and then they'll walk off because you'll be boring. Yeah. So again, they're looking, they're just looking for calm from their master. Like, calm down, right? And then they do need a certain kind of respect. They have to be acknowledged. The dog will be confused if you don't say goodbye to it. I'm really bad with that, by the way. That's one of the worst things because I, you know, that pack dynamic, one of the things about studying dogs for me is about how to study human dynamics. I think there's overlap in this while we're talking about it. And so, you know, remembering that the dogs, like they get hurt if you don't like say goodbye. And it's not like they're going to hold a grudge. It just, it's going to confuse them. They won't know to follow you or to trust you later. So they're always looking for respect, which they do through eye knowledge. It's eye contact with the dog. Only briefly. It's not like we stare into each other's eyes and we read each other's thoughts, but the dog is looking for a certain sort of like animal assent, right? Like a motion forward that says yes, so that he will retreat. And then that is where the dog lives with permissions, right? The dog is, so I'm going to take my hat off because I'm getting hot. The dog's discovering permission, and a good dog then is under control, right? It has the permissions to do what it's doing, and it's doing it right. A dog that is doing what it does not have permission to do has not been led by calm, respect, or eye knowledge. It's confused and is trying to figure out who's in charge in most cases. So again, now just apply this to guys in general. What do guys need from each other in general? You know, when you're looking for male friendship out there, what are you looking for? You're looking for calm. Everyone thinks it's about excitement, right? Because that's what sales pitches are. I'm not saying like, let's not go do something fun. I'm saying like calmness inspires people. And it is when the man's emotions do not overwhelm him that he is most useful to everybody else. So calmness, which then that's respect, right? Respect is that like, you might be upset, but you don't have to make me upset just because you're upset. I don't have to be upset just because you try to make me upset. There's a space here. There's a space between us. You see, yeah. So that's respect, and then eye knowledge. I mean, and this is something that for me as a psychological issue. I'm sure like it's always been okay. I can hit the mark, right? But in general, I don't like walk through supermarkets like smiling at people with eye contact. I'm usually like averting my eyes, right? And so, well, I don't like that. I actually feel kind of cowed by that behavior. I'd like to be able to like look around, like, hey, what's up, man? Hey, what's going on? Hey, lady, you know, like to me, that just seems like a more relaxed way to live, right? Well, that means eye knowledge needs to be something that is a learned behavior for me in those kind of public scenarios, you know, openly public scenarios. And again, this is something that I think probably a few of you have issues with as well out there. If you're listening to our podcast, certainly if you're in the Discord, you know, you may have some issues with shyness. Call it shyness if you want, if it makes you feel bad. But I see it as like, we've been stunted as a pack from the normal eye knowledge that we're supposed to have with each other as men that a dog will teach you about. You know, and it's nothing wrong with it as long as we can fight to have it back, realize how much of it's been taken. You know, we're so used to watching conversations of people on a screen that we're not in, that eventually we don't have conversations with the people that we're with, except for as if we were all on a screen. It's a dynamic. It's a way of changing the domain we inhabit. So the dog's always going to then be either called forward or backward. He's either going to be aggressing or retreating after discovery happens. And that's why calming is so important for maintaining your dog's, you know, behavior in general. So like dog 101, it's like calm the dog down. Is he excited? Take him for a long walk. That'll calm down afterwards, right? So like getting the dog calm is a big part of it. But this idea that they're either going to go forward or backward, again, is so helpful for understanding men, understanding young men, understanding young men becoming, you know, strong young men, is that they really don't have a middle ground on a lot of things. It's either, yes, I will go, or no, I'm not doing this. And there isn't some kind of like, well, maybe I'm not so sure about myself. You know, I want to think about this for a while, figure out how I feel. Like that's feminine behavior. Okay. There's a lot of guys who do that now. Again, programming, nutrition, et cetera. You pick your harbinger. Can we agree on X? The man's got to get the manness back. Okay. Which means I'm not going to have to worry about how I feel before I go do it. That's hard. If you've not been trained to do that, if you've been trained to do otherwise, see it this way. Then the way to operate is yes, no, not maybe. The way to be as a man is forward, backward. Practice with your wife, practice with your mom, practice with your sister, right? Get in a room and like test physical boundaries with somebody who you love and see how much you can like make a game and a joke of standing close to them until they say, what's going on? Practice being primal and predatory, right? Smile with that predatory grin, say, I just want a hug, hey! You know? But like be the aggressor in a relationship somewhere where it's not gonna be a fight, you're not gonna hurt anybody, right? But you can step out of your box and like get used to like being as big as you are. Because if you're a man, you're bigger than the women. I know there's big women. Okay, I get it. Everyone wants to argue. Ladies, this isn't for you, I guess, right? Go read For Ladies Only, the book For Ladies Only. For Her Only, whatever it is. for us guys, again, to be able to embrace the capacity to aggress intentionally with the knowledge of our size and how we impact a room. Not so that we harm others, but so that we stop doing harm to others. There is a few things as harmful as, you know, an uncivilized male in a small enclosed space. It is not helpful. It's not helpful to the congregation. It's not helpful to the family, right? Civilizing the male makes the male an asset to everybody all around. To do that, the male must be seen as different than the female, right? Men are different than women. And in this, then, they must be taught how to use their size with gentle aggression and awareness of boundaries so that they also see when is the appropriate time to retreat. And again, you know, this is what dogs are learning all the time, but I think we can learn a lot as men from this. So let's see, I think maybe, we could do this here. This is interesting too. So if you're trying to start a men's group and you're wondering about like how to do it, right? I have never led a company before. Hey, follow me, right? And like two guys show up and you're like a little disappointed, but that's reality where two or three are gathered and you have a Sons of Solomon packet. Jesus is there because his name's in the paper. Say it out loud, the angels rejoice. If you're going to get together as a group of guys then and continue to do it and not feel shameful because you're different and not as big and giant as whatever group's got all the money and looks cool, right? Well, then you must have a tribe. You must have a culture. You must have something about you that makes you you and not others. You're insiders, you're not outsiders. And while I have my own ideas about how to be like really chill and relaxed and cool about this, I don't always pull them off so well, blah, blah, blah. What I know is this, that animals, which includes us, have certain types of events wherein we transact trust with each other. There are seven I'm going to list for you right now. Seven events wherein animals transact trust with each other. It doesn't mean bosom buddies and friends forever. It means every time these things happen, trust is either being gained or lost in the trust meter for whoever's around, right? So these are social events of a sort, but again, animal events, we come together. The first one's the greeting, right? So when two animals, two bodies made of matter and spirit, right? The breath of life is inside of us, but we are obviously made of carbon and water. We come together. There is an event that happens, which is the greeting, is the meeting place, is when initial contact is established. And that event can either be on purpose or not on purpose. There used to be a very standard way of doing that in America. That is no longer the case. And the way that we used to do it is quite different from the way that the old world Europe would do it in general. But there was at one point a very standard expectation for greeting ritual when two adult male animal primate humans came together and saw eye to eye and were not going to fight, right? And there's a sending of, again, calm respect that has to take place there for trust to be established. In most places, most civilizations, certainly in ours, there's touch involved. And this is the whole social distancing, like little gambit, right? If you like that conspiracy theory, the isolation of the modern man by the mythologies of the age is entirely stunning. And I would say that most of our issues, young men, that we have faced and are having, a lot of us who are not being touched, your kids, it's not touched enough. And so like establishing trust means knowing who that other person really is, and that will involve physical contact. Otherwise, you don't really know. And, you know, I'm not saying that, oh, maybe they're a ghost, although how would you know? So, greeting. Send calm respect, establish trust through some sort of contact. The second animal event where trust is grown is a transitional event. These are like when you're standing around waiting for somebody, right? So we're moving from one thing to another. This is the weather thing. This is Grills and Coons. So let's talk about the weather. And you know, and proximity matters, locality matters. Where you are and where I am are not the same place, right? So, well, when you're standing in line for a moment somewhere and you're just about to walk in, or you're going to get the food together and you have just a second to talk, when you talk about the weather, you establish that you're in the same place. This is an animal event. It's a transitional event. It's just an example of one kind of transitional event. It's probably the least important kind of event. But then again, weather talk is one of the most important animal events that adult men need. I don't, but I've learned they do. And so I do it because it's good for us. And frankly, I do like the weather quite a bit. I just never understood why people talked about it so much. But you know, that's neither here nor there. Socializing event. So this is like the transitional event I just described is like unto a larger socializing event. So this is where you stand around together and you bark at each other. You know, and we all know so much. So when we speak, it's very, very astute and clear. And everyone around us is stunned by the clarity of what we say. The angels, on the other hand, may just see us barking and bah, 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 bah. But what that you know, have you ever seen geese do it, like on a lake in winter? What are they doing? They're establishing trust. They're learning how to hear each other. They're actually picking up on tonal realities that are more psychological or maybe soul related, and then say just cognitive, right? Your instinct is being brought to ease with this herd that you're in, right? As you bark. I mean, you know, I don't mean to say that humans and that the curse of Babel has so ruined our conversation that, you know, I say X and you say Y. but then again, it can really be that way. And as we're talking about man and woman and our ability to talk past each other as we think, feel near each other, the same thing is true, that there's a lot of what we do that is more about the sound and posture and motion of our place in the room than about our the clarity of what we say. And again, I'll give you another example. Like, I know, like when I sit there and I'm a 45-year-old male with degrees and intelligence, and I'm so smart, and I sit there at my table and I say this very smart thing, and it's so intelligent and quite lengthy and smart. And then my 12-year-old's like, yeah. And like, there's no way. I love the kid. He picked up something, but it wasn't what I said. He picked up something from what I said. It may have been the point of what I said, but you see what I'm saying? Like the level of our cognizant reception is not near what we want to believe it is generally, as we're just transmogrifying information by barking at each other. This is good though. Okay. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's good. I do think when you don't have Christian language at the root of it, it will lead to more conflict in that socializing, right? That Christian language, solidifies trust even more. All right. So animal events, greeting, transitional socializing. The last four are walking, which is near travel, riding, which is far travel, feeding, which is communing, right? And then, you know, what do you call a professional encounter? You know, you pay someone else to do something for you. You go to a doctor, you know, something like that. So, again, so how do you build trust with someone? Go for a walk, you know? Going for a ride is different, you know? Go for riding a horse, you really have to build some trust though. That's a fact, right? And so, you know, travel is a place where people either trust each other before or after. That's why a lot of churches will do small group kind of things where they go, you know, overseas or whatever. And I'm not necessarily against it, although I do think that finances are an interesting thing in the church. But when they come back from these group events, the groups always are knit together. And if you bring the word of God to bear on that event, you know, as we're studying the word together through that week where we travel, it is always going to make that group grow in community, communion with each other. So feeding event, this is the event that you really must do at your house with your people, or you don't have a people. If you don't eat together, you're not a people, right? And so, you know, it is a priority in our home to eat dinner together. We do not always eat breakfast or lunch together, but we always eat dinner together. And it is not merely a matter of the conversation at the table. It is actually a matter of the dispersion of the food. It is a matter of a recognition of that this is hard to get. that not everyone can just kind of have food, that it takes power to get food. And so when we come together, you know, the bigger, stronger ones actually give food to the weaker ones. And that this is something that is why God made us their parents, right? And we're there for that. But that this event to eat together, and to eat together as a married couple, right? Or as a dating couple, right? To go and eat with your parents after you moved out, take the kids, all this. There's something very inspiring, spirit-driven. I'm not saying capital spirit. Human spirituality about our animal feeding. And this is, I don't think I have to prove this point. It's a pretty known point. But to see it again then with the wellness, you know, pay someone to teach you how to be better, which you are. You know, these animal events, they're places where if you feel like life is too much to manage all over the place and you've been wanting to say, I am tired of letting people lead me by the nose. I'm tired of not being my own man. I'm tired of feeling like there are these restrictions that are put upon me and they're all from some sort of feminine source and I just can't get away from it. And, you know, being dependent on feminine approval, right? Well, targeting small corners of your life where you can be the owner and be the alpha is the way to practice the confidence to then stand in the face of whatever it is that you're feeling overwhelmed by. So like without like going like too blank slate here, I know for my part that overcoming matrilineal training, that is the training to let my woman's disappointment trump most things in terms of decision-making, if I could make it happen, if I could bend. That's something that was ruining her experience of the marriage, right? For the woman to be happy, the man's got to be the man. He has to do it. And so many of us out there are trapped in this idea where we got to make him happy. She's not going to be happy unless you're the man, which means you got to make her unhappy sometimes. You got to let it be. And then she'll be happy later. Because she's the waves of the sea, you know, and that's is beautiful. She's the moon. You're the sun, right? Again, this is, you know, archetypes, but those archetypes mean something for a reason. And living in an age of upside down clown confusion world where no one knows what's what or where, if you would like to try to gain some ground back, well, practice your greeting events. Practice having transitional events at church. Like, stop and talk to someone for 10 seconds without it becoming a conversation. I know, weird, huh? Like, you have to try. Then I would have to do something. You know? Yeah, well, that's just it. Like, and because we're up against the wall again. That's where I'm at. Can we agree on X? We need men to just practice being men wherever they are, however they can, or we're in a great deal of trouble. And it begins with, like, I'm sorry, Jesus, for being a whiny victim about all of this. I'm sorry, Jesus, for letting this happen. I'm sorry, Jesus, for being concerned that the women are going to be upset that we're talking about how we got to be better men. Like there it is. Throw it to the wind, right? Throw it to the wind and let it be. If we do not take ownership of our households, then we shall never have blessed congregations. And if we don't have blessed congregations, why would we expect our land to be blessed at all? Unless the whole thing is just some sort of theoretical game for you. And as long as you got it right in the book, it doesn't matter if it's burned to the ground outside. But that's not my read on the text. My read on the text is that Jesus answers prayers. He has no intention to burn his church to the ground, but he does wake us up with some suffering. And when your women rule over you, go look it up. It's in the book of Isaiah. This is the time. Time to repent. Time to repent. What does that mean? Just a moment left here. Just a few moments left here. This is also something that I pulled out of Dr. Kuntz. I think it was about 3 weeks ago he said this. And I thought it was really kind of timely summary. And again, like, when he said it, I was kind of like, wow, how could he get away with saying that? Because if you say that in certain crowds, you're going to have a lady stand up and take you to task for even suggesting such things. And yet what he's suggesting is just that, right? And so the idea that feminine approval in a domain, okay, if we're in a group setting and it is being managed by femininity, man and woman out of it, just femininity, okay, there's going to be more silence. There's going to be a feeling that you're supposed to also do what everyone else is doing. There's going to be some things you won't know until someone gets mad at you. Pecking. And if you are not in line, it will be ruthless to put you in line. Now, again, when he said these things, I was kind of like, you know what? Birds and the bees. You know, it's in nature. It's right there. It's so obvious. It's so obviously who we are too. What does this do to boys when they're kept under a constant pressure to conform, to be silent, to get punished out of turn and just be expected to get with it the way girls actually can? And then finding that he never has a place where he can be a man. He's always under a woman. Well, if you can imagine that, I think I'm describing what most men under 40, 45 have probably experienced growing up, you know, unless they had very, very fortunate family. And anyone who came before that, like, you can't even imagine it. You have no idea. You literally have no idea. I'm gonna say, you have no idea. Stop thinking you do. You don't. And it's brutal. It just kills the spirit. Kills the spirit of man. I don't know about Holy Spirit. I mean, it made it tough for the church. Look at the church. Where are the men? They all left. Why? They're all dispirited. By who? Their moms. Ah, you know, Sunday school teachers. Ah, why? They were trying so hard to do the right thing, weren't they? What happened? Where'd the men go? Why aren't the men the Sunday school teachers? Oh, wait. No, these changes that aren't going to change anything. Notice how they've changed everything. They've changed everything. The distinction. Can we agree on X? Is man, woman different? So shall I bring up suffrage? Can a woman vote? Should a woman vote? If you know me personally, you know, I think it's like the biggest red herring ever. It'll tell you where people are on the argument, but like it isn't going to fix anything if we fix it. It's sort of, you know, it's like, do you play board top games? Like, do you just take that country because you like it and you think it's pretty and then you lose? Or do you take the country because, you know, that's how you win the game, right? So like, you know, women's suffrage is a telltale. It's a sign. It's a fruit on a fairly weird rotting vine of democracy, which, you know, suffrage in general, is it the best way to decide what truth is? No. And we're very clear about that at seminary with the pastors. It's very clear. We do not vote on doctrine. You know, once you're at a place where you have the group gathering together to decide whether we're going to do something, if you give one vote to the head of house, or you give seven votes to the whole house, if you're voting to win, you're not much of a church. You know? So like voting is neither here nor there. The question is, why do the women need to have a say so badly? And I've always heard the answer is, well, who will speak up for them? Which is really a fascinating like thing. I mean, are your husbands that bad? You know, I guess. Well, they should repent, right? Like it isn't as simple as like, well, we'll just throw off the fetters and it'll all be okay. But again, you know, women's suffrage is neither here nor there to me. We have it at St. Paul. I have no agenda to remove it at all. I think it'll die on its own eventually because people are going to get bored with the fact that it doesn't work. And we'd rather just have families who care about being Christian families in a world that doesn't. And that doing that, like, is better than fighting over the color of the carpet. Yeah. Voting is a sign then of the society's belief in the individual's need to control things, which is not always good for any given group. And again, so imagine this, where I've got husband and wife, and they're going to vote, right? And now, in vote, in silent, they vote separately from each other. They vote against each other. Notice how the house has nullified its existence. Isn't that interesting? And then
what has this done to the spirit of that home? Certainly, it may mean nothing at all because we're voting on the new name of the sports team downtown or something, you know, frivolous and meaningless. So who cares, right? But I'm talking about the spirit of the matter, right? When we say, oh, women have to be able to vote or else we won't have Christianity. You're really saying that women have to be able to disagree with their husbands, otherwise we won't have Christianity. And that's a very strange argument to make. It's a very strange argument to make. We've been making it for a long time. And I'm not trying to say we have to have it. I'm saying the voting doesn't even matter. We get together as congregations. I mean, if anybody's upset about voting, it's because somebody's acting up in a bad way and needs to be taken to task by the elders outside of the voting assembly, right? The reason that voting assemblies come together is so we can manage our budget mostly. And then from there, the work of the church happens in the narthex. The work of the church happens in the home, right? It happens especially week by week as people, well, we don't run into each other like we used to, but we text each other. And in our town, we do run into each other, right? So the work of the church is so much more than just sort of like where I was talking about before, like a hands-off or a show. It's not a show. It's not a show. And so when you're voting to the point of having a fight over the issue, and that issue hasn't been resolved by a handshake between the two guys who are most avid about it, and they can't shake hands and go to communion afterwards and smile about it because it really didn't matter that much, then you've really lost something in terms of the spirit. And I'm saying then, arguing for suffrage, period, is doing that. So arguing for women's suffrage is therefore doing that as well, and like doubly so, and weirdly, in an inverse way that divides the family. That said, to try to fix the world right now by getting rid of women's suffrage is to miss the point. What we need is men who take ownership of the corner around them and say, I greet you to that man, and let us talk about the weather as we walk for a moment, and then trust is built, and now we are a community. Like, that's what we need. We need lots of that. Lots and lots of that. Instead of like, hold on, I gotta check my email. Oh, my phone. Oh, let me look at this. I show this picture. Right? Like that's not manhood, right? That's robot land. And I like my robot land too. I showed a picture just today to somebody. You know, it's okay. You can do it. But like we are not that. We must repent of being made that. We must believe, those of us who have heard me and believe me so far and aren't going to argue about it, that the matrilineal curse that's above us must be repented of and rejected. We must absolutely see that this is something that has been programmed into us, that the flooding of the media waves of the last zeitgeist did this. I suggest that you believe that your testosterone is low because of what you eat as well. You look into that a little bit, that those kinds of things matter for the Christian man who wants to make a living in this ridiculous economy and raises family, that being able to have confidence in your physicality, in your predatory nature, in your alpha capacity, in your ability to wield anger with patience and gentleness. All of these things matter a great, great deal. And they don't really matter to girls so much, except she wants one who can do that. She really does. She wants a guy who can do all that. And so again, work on it in those places where you can. The church is a place for building male brotherhood. You have a go-to reality, which is the Proverbs, New Testament too, but Proverbs, they are quotes for every aspect of life. They are something to say to every man at every time. Spend a little time in it, get the guys open in it, and watch the world around you change. There's a lot more that needs to be said about men and women. I think I'm just opening this cage a little bit. I'm sure that we will hear some feedback from it. What I want to drive home, though, I can't be said enough. So I'll say it again. The week that I started promoting the Sons of Solomon for the first time, if you haven't found sonsofsolomon.net, it changes lives and you really should consider it. And you should use it with your men's group for sure. If you haven't found it, go get it. The first weekend that I started promoting it, like right off the bat in the comments, why isn't there one for women? And to me, like, it didn't surprise me that was said, because I've lived in this world long enough to know what's coming. If I ever say the men should do something, if we ever say the men, I know what's coming. There will be a woman who will stand up and say no. And this is what I'm talking about. Like, it's a weird world to live in. That's very strange. That's very not birds and the bees. Okay. It's not birds and the bees. That's backwards. It's upside down. So, since that happened, I was kind of like, well, yeah, okay, I'll make one or whatever. But I remember how upset my wife was. She was so mad about it that she wouldn't do the prayers for the Daughters of Wisdom when I put them together, which turned into a really fascinating place where she was completely right. She's completely right. Like, wait, no, this, we need something for the men that the women don't get to take over. We need something for the men. The women don't get to ask why not for them. We need something for the men because we just finally, can the men have something? The men are going to take something. The men are going to be men. Sons of Solomon is that. And you know that as soon as you pick up a Daughters of Wisdom booklet, because none of the women want to read it once they get it, because it'll change their lives by making them Christian women, which means it'll fight against their passions, which are what they are living under mostly, as their men don't lead them. Right? People, I get an amen? So, Sons of Solomon exists for the sake of making better men. That women wanted it isn't surprising, but see and learn the lesson. At some point, this history is going to shift back to nature. Huh? This isn't my opinion. At some point, barring Jesus' return, if he comes back today, hallelujah, I'm ready for it. Okay, I want it. If he waits another 1,000 years, we're going back to the birds and the bees. In the world of the birds and the bees, which there's religions on the other side of the planet that live in this world, right? Men and women are so different that like the women don't get to say but. Like if the women say but, they get like, you know, stoned. And things, okay? So like, I don't want that world. I want a civilized world. I want a world where the man understands that the weaker vessel, it doesn't mean that she's weak. It just means she's weaker than he is. And so like I want a world in which we can agree on X, man and woman are different, and that this is good. That this is diversity that is strength, in fact. It's a diversity that is unifying because more than one part makes the whole. Can we agree on that? And then, you know, if you're with me, you're with me. You know what I'm talking about, and you know someone's needing to say it, right? If you're not with me, like, what's he talking about? Well, all I can say is hang tight, because it's, you know, the people who are thinking what I just said, there's more of them coming. They're all younger and they're getting bigger, okay? And the people who don't, have never heard what I just said or could not imagine it, you're all, there's fewer of you every year, and you keep taking medicines that sometimes help you and sometimes don't, you know. So I do not give medical advice on YouTube. Ha. So can we agree on X? If you're with me, you know what's going on. If you're not, do consider John Gray again, where we started, forgetting that men and women are different inevitably breeds conflict. It's a matter of our tongues. It's our first step. It's how we prioritize. And we shouldn't try to make each other more like each other. We shouldn't try to make the boys more like girls, and we shouldn't try to make the girls more like boys. We should raise them in the glory that they are and then encourage them to copulate and make some more. You're listening to A Brief History of Power. You know where to find us, or you wouldn't be here.
What do you think of when you hear the word college? Expensive? Liberal? Woke? Imagine a college that is affordable, a college that is unapologetically conservative and Lutheran. A college that won't take a dime of federal funding. A college that teaches the best of our Western heritage. A college where students grow in the Christian faith instead of leaving it behind. This is Luther Classical College. A college by Lutherans and for Lutherans. Visit our website, lutherclassical.org. Subscribe, become a patron, and join the thousands who are making Luther Classical College a reality.
North Idaho is home to beautiful mountains and scenic lakes, small-town tranquility, civil freedom, and the faithful Lutheran parish of Blessed Sacrament Lutheran Church, located in Hayden, Idaho, near Coeur d'Alene. Blessed Sacrament Lutheran Church is a proud sponsor of A Brief History of Power. If you like what you hear on Brief History, then you will love Blessed Sacrament, where the Lord's Word is faithfully preached and Christ's body and blood are administered at every divine service. Whether you are visiting Idaho or considering moving to Idaho, wouldn't it be nice? Please join the saints of Blessed Sacrament Lutheran Church for the Mass and Augsburg Academy Bible Study. Directions, service times, and much more information about this confessional liturgical parish may be found at blessedsacramentlutheranchurch.com. Blessed Sacrament Lutheran Church, historic Christian Orthodoxy, the evangelical Lutheran faith, in the beautiful Inland Northwest.